Church in Bassett Street, if you don't know me. And I've got a short 5-minute, maybe 10-minute talk to share with you on this wonderful subject. When I was looking at this story, I was reminded of those times when, I don't know when the last time was you had a surprise visitor turn up at your house unexpectedly. Maybe an old friend or a family member this week even. How about that? Somebody you haven't seen for a couple of years. In this kind of age that we live in, it's quite hard to surprise people because the general sort of tendency is you kind of WhatsApp them or you sort of text them, you give them a call to warn them that you're on your way. But back in the day, before mobile phones were invented, and that's when I was a child, even that's so many years ago, people weren't so connected, so people weren't necessarily so warned that visitors were coming. I remember as a child, we would get visits from aunts and uncles from time to time. And it wasn't so much that they were completely unexpected. It's just they were going to come on that day, but you didn't quite know when. So we would be really excited. We'd be sort of looking out the window, waiting for these visitors to arrive. And the main reason we would look forward to these relatives arriving was because they always brought presents. And in particular, this was true of Uncle Eddie and Auntie Vera, who would come to visit us every so often all the way from distant Colchester in Essex. And we would wait excitedly for their little white Ford Anglia to park outside our house. Once we'd welcome them in, we'd excited, we'd try and be really patient, hello, what's in your suitcase? But we'd try and sort of wait patiently while they sort of, had a cup of tea, sat down, opened the suitcase, and then, here, Robert, here's your little present, here, Janet, there's yours. Here's a picture of this wonderful aunt and uncle. Hopefully, bang, there we go. So, Uncle Eddie is the very tall man at the back. You should have seen him folding himself into a Ford Anglia. And then Auntie Vera, my mum's sister, is the lady on the right. And young Robert is there in the little teepee with his little feathers on. And my little sister Janet with me, my brother, older brother there, looking sort of not looking very happy, obviously sort of feeling he's missing out on the teepee adventure. But in reality, these gifts were always second-hand items that Auntie Vera had probably got from her local church jumble sale. But we didn't care. We loved them. I remember one time I got given a little Santa Claus light, something like this one. There we go. And another time, I got an old toy Morse code kit. It didn't have any instructions, but somehow we managed to make it work, though I never, ever managed to master Morse code, apart from dot, 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 dash, dash, dash. I guess it would have been even more exciting if they turned up completely out of the blue with their gifts. What a surprise that would have been. What fun. And that's something like what must have happened with Mary and Joseph and their new baby Jesus in Bethlehem all those years ago. But rather than an aunt and uncle turning up, having driven from Colchester to Luton in a Ford Anglia, their visitors were a much, much bigger surprise. By the time they receive these visitors, they've moved on from the stable where Jesus was born, and they're now staying in a house somewhere in Bethlehem. And I imagine the visit going something like this. It's quite late in the evening, it's dark, and Mary is settling the baby in an inner room. And suddenly there are sounds outside of a group of people approaching on horses, or maybe it's on camels. Then there's a little gentle tapping on the door. And Joseph goes to answer it, and there's some very excited strangers there. These men weren't dressed like locals and spoke with a strange foreign accent. They just made the journey from Jerusalem, where they'd stayed for a few nights. But their original starting place had been hundreds of miles away to the east. They tell Joseph their story. They are men from the distant city of Babylon. They are scholars, learned men, and great experts in the night sky. They've spent their lives studying the course of the stars across the sky. They can predict the path of each star. They see their patterns and movements and wonder at the significance of these sort of twinkling lights in the sky. What can they mean, this sort of big out there, this mystery, this mysterious place where these constellations move in their patterns? But a few months ago, they'd seen something new in the sky, something they really weren't expecting. A new star had appeared. It was over to the west of their city, a distant light shining bright and clear in the dark sky. Night after night, they gazed at this light, but it didn't move, it just hung there in the distance. They discussed this amongst themselves and with other experts in the city. They wondered what this could mean. Then they remembered the stories they'd heard of the people of the West, the Jews, who had once been exiled in their city of Babylon, but most of whom had returned long ago to Judea. This people had been waiting the birth of a really special king, a savior, a deliverer for his people, but who would also be a blessing for all people. At the time of their exile, which had seemed like the end of them as a nation, one of their prophets had foretold of this special child being born. They had rare copies of these prophecies in their libraries in Babylon. They found them and they studied them carefully and came across these amazing words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his kingdom and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As they read these words, their excitement only increased. Was it possible that this star in the distant west, so steady in the sky, might signal the birth of this child? They had decided there and then that they would have to make this journey to Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jews, to find this baby for themselves. It had taken them months to travel the 900 miles or so from Babylon to Jerusalem. And they had their ups and downs along the way, moments when they'd wondered if they'd been crazy to set out on this long, dangerous journey. But each night, as they saw the star relentlessly calling them west, they took courage again and kept going. They told Joseph how they'd finally arrived in Jerusalem, thinking that this must be the place where this new king had been born. But they were so disappointed to realize there was no sign of anything. No, there was no buzz in the city about a new child, a new king appearing in the city. When they asked around the place where this baby king was, they just got confused and rather alarmed looks. That even ended up in Herod's palace, where it was very clear no recent birth had taken place. But then Herod had been so helpful, bringing together the people who were experts in their religion to help them. They'd informed them of another of their prophets who'd foretold the birth of this special king in a little town to the south of Jerusalem called Bethlehem, just 5 miles away. So they'd set off that very evening. And as they'd left Jerusalem, they were thrilled to see that same star ahead of them again, now leading them south, the very direction the learned men of Jerusalem had said this town of Bethlehem lay. And so they'd followed that star until it seemed to stop over this very place, and here they were. Mary had been listening to their story from the next room as she nursed little Jesus. So when Joseph came to the door and asked if these visitors could come in, she said, of course, let them come in, let them see the baby. So these strangers cautiously entered the room. It suddenly felt like holy ground for them. There was the child and his mother, this king, this savior and deliverer, so small, so vulnerable, so peaceful. Could they have known at that time, I wonder, if they were looking at the Son of God himself? Whether they had full realization that this was God they were gazing at, we cannot know. But the response of these grand, important, wealthy, scholarly men was to fall with their faces to the floor in that little house and worship him. Eventually they rose from the floor, tears in their eyes, as they went to their bags and pulled out gifts for this king. Gold, they said, because he is a king. Frankincense, because he will surely not just be a great king for the people, but a great priest too, bringing together the people and their God. And finally, they presented Mary and Joseph and the baby with myrrh, because the prophet speaks of the suffering of this child and of his death. For a moment, there is stillness in that little house as they gaze upon this child and wonder at what his future will be. What a night for Mary and Joseph. What a night for those travelers from that distant land who found their king, gazed upon him and worshipped. They must have returned to Babylon different men, forever changed by this adventure and their encounter with this tiny baby. Getting a knock on the door or a ring on the doorbell late at night isn't always a welcoming thought, is it? Not a time when we might expect or welcome visitors. But the Bible tells us of one who will knock on the door of our hearts and wait to be invited in. This same Jesus whom the wise men visited on that night in Bethlehem. In Revelation 3:20 it says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." This King of Kings also comes with gifts, not gold, frankincense or myrrh or second-hand toys from a jumble sale, but gifts from our Heavenly Father, the greatest of which is the Holy Spirit, God himself, taking up residence within our hearts as we welcome Jesus in. Let's welcome this Jesus into our hearts once again over this Christmas season. Let's worship him. Let's journey with him. Let's give him the very best of ourselves to him and for him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this incredible story, Lord. We thank you for your story of your birth, of your coming. We thank you for the wonder of the shepherds, these simple men, the lowest of the low. And we thank you also for these wise men that you called from a distant country because you wanted them to come and find this king. And thank you for your invitation to us, Lord Jesus, to follow you, Lord, to draw near to you. Lord, to invite you in, to open this door of our hearts to you, Jesus, and to keep it open, Lord, that we may enjoy our walk with you, our time with you, our lives with you. We pray for ourselves, pray for this Christmas time, Lord Jesus. Would you be so very present with us, Lord, as we celebrate your birth, as we celebrate your coming. Amen.